Open your Bibles this morning with me to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read a couple of verses here, actually three. Jesus is giving some parables here in Luke chapter number 15. Verse number 8, and it says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. One piece of silver missing. Where's it lost? Not out in the yard. Not downtown on the street. Where's it lost? In the house. Lost in the house. Father, in Jesus' name, I would beseech you once again that you fill the vessel, then spill the vessel for thy name's sake. My Lord, give us great grace today. Speak to every heart. May not one of us leave here today without knowing that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And may it be so. Will you please manifest yourself among us today? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Don't reach out there and pick that up. A piece of silver lost in the house. Often we come to the house of God. We go through the motions, we go through those things that we've learned down through the years. We even grunt out an amen once in a while. Amen. And shake hands with our friends and our loved ones and those who happen to be visiting with us. We go through all the motions religiously. Amen. And yet when it comes time to die, we know not the Lord. Amen. How in the world can that happen? How can we be in the house of God on a regular basis? How can we go through all the motions religiously and still be lost? Amen. May I remind you that Israel, the nation that God chose, the nation that God spared, the nation that God time and time again relieved them from the oppression that had come upon them because of their neighbors. And yet when Jesus showed up, how many of them knew him? Absolutely none but mom and dad. Mary and Joseph were the only two that really knew this was the Son of God. Now, are you listening to me? The whole nation of Israel, they were still going through their religious practices. They were still doing like they'd done down through the ages. They were carrying on religiously. Listen to those words. Carrying on religiously. One more time. Carrying on religiously. Amen. That's exactly what most churches are doing this morning. That's what so many church members are doing this morning. Carrying on religiously. I want to make an announcement to you at the beginning of this sermon. Listen carefully. Hell is stacked full of religious people. Years ago, we had a president who made this statement. There are many ways to heaven. Many ways to heaven. That's what religion has done to us. Religion has given us many ways to heaven. But the Word of God declares, Jesus said Himself, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The president was wrong. He may have been a decent politician, but he wasn't much of a theologian. But do you know the multitudes of people believe that today? Would you believe that there are preachers across this country in pulpits this morning that believe that? That believe that men and women can get to heaven another way other than the Lord Jesus Christ? They're dooming the souls of mankind. Jesus said one way. Not many, one way. And so this crowd has met together this morning. We're in this building this morning, and no doubt I'm preaching to someone like that piece of silver. Amen. Lost in the house. Amen. There are three parables our Lord is dealing with in this passage. One deals with this silver, as we've noticed. Another deals with a son. Is that right?
Amen.
And then there's others that we would call seed or so on and so forth. But there's a sheep as well involved. The sheep is lost in the wilderness. The son is lost in the world. And the silver is lost in the house. The sheep is sought by the shepherd. Now I'm giving you something. You need to listen to this. The sheep is sought by the shepherd. And who is the shepherd? The Lord Jesus. The silver is sought by a woman who represents the Holy Spirit. But the son by the sovereign, the Father. God is showing us that both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are involved in the redemption of an individual.
Amen.
Here is a son who is a rational being. He knows that he's away from home. He's aware of Father's house. And here is a sheep lost in the wilderness, not aware of where he is, knowing he's lost, but not aware of where he is, waiting for the cry of the shepherd.
Amen.
And here's a coin, inanimate, can't think for itself, lost in the house. Let me give you a few ways that it's lost. First of all, it's lost in the dust of the house. Now, what is dust? Dust is that that occurs normally in our homes, isn't it? You ever get any dust in the house? One of the most aggravating things that you'll have at the house is dust. I despise dust. I hate to look at something and see dust on it. And when the sun shines through the window and hits the top of something, guess what you see? Dust. It occurs normally in our houses. Now, I'm telling you something. I want you to stay with me. That coin is lost in the dust. It's lost in those things that happen normally in the house. Normal things that happen in the church. People are lost in those normal things. Why are they lost that way? Because they are partakers of all that's taking place, yet at the same time they're lost. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. lost in the dust. Those things that normally happen. We come through the door and shake hands with two or three or four people or whatever. We take our seats, we sing our songs, we listen to the music, we listen to the preaching, we go home, and we go home still in the dust. Those things that occurred normally, we took part in it, but we are not a part of the household of faith. I want you to get this in your head. Lost in the dust. And secondly, lost in the debris. Now, what is debris? Debris is stuff that we just kind of cast around. I walked into one of my great-granddaughter's bedrooms, and I said, "What hurricane came through here?" They don't keep house like I do. But they will. For the next month and a half, they will. And when they go home, they can do however they want to. But at my house, they're going to keep the house clean. Say amen right there. But we throw that junk around, and that's debris. And in that debris, that corn is lost. Now, I said to you that debris is that we've cast around. Guess what that is? That's our ideas and our opinions. Amen. That's what we think about it. For years, when I was pastoring in Florida, folks would come to me and say, "Brother Lay, what do you think about?" And they'd have a finger on a verse of scripture. "Brother David, I'd look them straight in the eyes and I'd say, it makes no difference what I think about. It's what that says that makes the difference. What does it say?" Our problem is we have our opinions as to what the text says, but our opinion doesn't match up with the text because we have too much debris involved with it. My ideas, what mama told me. I stopped at a country store one time, and the lady behind the cash register was arguing with someone who was a customer. And she said, "Preacher, tell him that the Bible says every tub sits on its own bottom." I said, "No, ma'am, the Bible does not say that." She said, "It does say that." I said, "No, ma'am, the Bible does not say that." She said, "I know it's in there. My mama told me it was in there." Amen. Did you catch up with that?
Amen.
What debris?
Yeah.
Mama told me. Do you know mama has actually been wrong?
Amen.
Like daddy has actually been wrong?
Amen.
Can you admit that you have been wrong?
Amen.
Huh? But in the debris of our own opinions and in the debris of our own thoughts, lost.
Amen.
Lost. One of the things, one of the pieces of debris that hinders us so much so are false professions.
Amen.
How many people have made false professions, and they're satisfied with a debris.
Amen.
Something that they did years ago that had nothing to do with their salvation.
Amen.
How many testimonies have I heard through the years? Someone said, "Brother Larry, I recall when I was a child going forward." I want to get out. Listen, we need to get over this thing of going forward. That was a Chrysler situation, and namesake from way back in the when? 60s? Back in the 60s. The forward look. And Baptist people picked up that forward look and said, I went forward. You can go forward and backward and sideways and up and down and anywhere you want to go. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to the end of your life, you'll perish. And all because of the debris. All because of things that you have thought up. Things you have cast around. Things you have in your mind. The mind of most individuals today is poisoned by false religious systems. I hesitate in one way to approach this, but I'm going to do it anyhow. So if go home and take a baby aspirin if it bothers you. But there are churches across this city today that are preaching another gospel. Another gospel. Paul said that's what they would do. They'll have another spirit, another gospel, and another Christ. You see what they've done? They put the debris in there. They cast in all this stuff that floats on top of the water, but it is of no benefit. All this stuff that's cast around through the room, but it is of no benefit. Spiritually, the only thing that is of any benefit to you is the Word of God. But we'll fill our minds with all of these other books. And all of this contrary to the Word of God preaching. I mentioned it to you just a few moments ago. There is but one way. Just one way, not several, one. But surely, this has been said to me. Now surely, Brother Larry, I've lived a good life and I've done all of these things. Surely the Lord will accept me. No, it ain't gonna be that way. No. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us.
Amen.
Until the Holy Ghost comes in and clears out the debris. Until the Holy Ghost clears out all of that dust, then you're not going to be found. Do you know what this coin represents as well? It represents something that cannot by itself save itself.
Amen.
How about that?
Right.
Now here's the real truth of the gospel. You cannot save yourself.
Amen.
Here's what this parable says, if it says anything. You cannot save yourself.
Amen.
You cannot find yourself. You must be found by someone else.
Amen.
And the preacher can't find you.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
The preacher can't find you. The Sunday school teacher can't find you. The evangelist can't find you. Only the Holy Ghost can find you. There's something that's been relegated to the back pew as well in Baptist Church. We've forgotten, have we not, that it's the power of the Holy Spirit that draws us to Christ. We get involved in, oh, listen to this great orator. Come and listen to our preacher. Your preacher may be a great orator, but if your preacher is not preaching the Word of God, I don't care where he is or what he does. But he can't get you to Jesus. I travel across this country preaching to folks whose faces I may never see again till we get to glory. If they get there. But they'll not get there unless they're found by the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but this coin is lost in the darkness. Now, I don't know if you woke up this morning realizing this or not, but if you didn't, I'm going to tell you, you live in a dark world.
Amen.
When the Supreme Court takes away the approval of killing babies, and the President of the United States stands up and says, "This is the darkest day in America." Number one, he's a fool. Number two, it may be the brightest day in America. The brightest day that we've seen in my lifetime. I remind you, and you listen carefully to what I'm saying, I remind you that God will not pardon the shedding of innocent blood. Did you hear that? God will not pardon the shedding of innocent blood. And what is more innocent than a child that has not yet been birthed? Or a child that has been birthed and it's laying there beside its mama and mama says, "I don't want it." And the doctor just lets it lay there and die. What can be any darker than that?
Amen.
And when a nation sanctions it, then that nation is under the judgment of God. By the way, have you looked recently? America is under the judgment of God. Darkness. Darkness. Religion. Darkness of religion. I don't know about you, but religion makes me sick.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else. It makes God sick.
Amen.
All of this I'm going to do and I'm doing and all of these lighting the candles and kneeling and all that stuff, all of these practices that have nothing to do with the eternal soul standing before God Almighty in judgment, I'm telling you, it's darkness.
Amen.
You're living in a darkened world, a world that is so dark that you can only be found by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank God. Amen.
What mother would want their child to go to hell? And yet mothers live in a fashion that would point them directly toward the broad road. What father would want his son to perish? And yet the lifestyle of fathers, even church-going fathers in America, points that child toward the broad way, not the narrow way. Let's get a little closer to the bone here for a minute. Jesus speaks of two ways. One of those ways goes to hell. The other way goes to heaven.
Amen.
And Jesus said about the one that goes to hell, it's broad. And many, many are traveling that road.
Amen.
But he said, the way to heaven is narrow. And the gate is straight, which means narrow as well.
Amen.
And he said, what? Few there be that find it.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus made the statement before he left this earth. He said, when I return, shall I find faith on the earth?
Amen.
Now, what was he saying? He's not asking a question per se. He's making a statement. When he returns, will there be faith on the earth? And the truth is, there's little or no faith today. Real faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I ask you, is it sufficient for your salvation? The finished work of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the miracles. I'm not talking about the healings and the walking on the waters and so on. I'm talking about the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the finished work of Jesus Christ? The finished work of Christ is when he hung on the cross and God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And he bore our sins in our place and died in our stead. 3 days later, rose from the grave. Hallelujah. And then ascended back to the Father with a promise, I'll come again.
Amen.
Now that's true, and it is.
Amen.
Then there's something going on in churches today that's missing the mark in its preaching. Just this past week, the Southern Baptist Convention elected a woke president. So the two top leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention now are woke. The problem is they're not awake. That don't have a thing in the world to do with whether or not they're awake. They're in the darkness. Men, like my dad, and men that gave their lives, put their lives into preaching the Word of God, have been adulterated and forsaken by the convention.
Amen.
There ought to be, actually, there ought to be a movement taking place in the Southern Baptist Convention this morning, and every church that believes the Word of God ought to say, we are no longer a part of it.
Amen.
When I was pastoring in Florida, one of the local preachers, a Southern Baptist preacher, I was ordained in a Southern Baptist church, was a Southern Baptist preacher, pastor in a Southern Baptist church. But one of the Southern Baptist preachers was also a school teacher, and he took the Jesus Christ Superstar into the classroom to the children. My teenagers came to me and said, Brother Larry, this thing was awful. Well, I'd heard about it, but I hadn't done any study on it. So I began to study the thing. In reality, in that mess, Judas becomes the Christ. That thing is pathetic. So I spoke to the preacher. No satisfaction. I then wrote him a letter. Didn't hear anything. I then wrote the associational stool pigeon, who is the associational missionary, for you folks that don't understand. And we had a meeting. They called a meeting. And at that meeting, all the Southern Baptist pastors were there. And I explained my point of view and showed them and told them what was going on. And he was there as well. And here was their assessment. Now, excuse me for using the word, but I'm telling you exactly what they said to me. You're a jack. Why? Because I had exposed the darkness in that thing. And here is my words back to them. When all of you fellas are gone, this jack will still be braying the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can ask my wife. In less than 5 years, all of those preachers were gone. Every last one of them. And I pastored for another 30 years in the same spot. Darkness, are you hearing me? Darkness. Now, I've got to hurry. How is a darkness done away with? What the scriptures say? She lit a candle. Lit a candle. Now that proves it was dark, doesn't it? Huh? She lit a candle. Here's the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Light exposes things that we can't see otherwise. By the way, light eliminates the darkness. Will you do me a favor? Turn the lights off in this auditorium right quick. Now you can't see what you could see a moment ago, can you?
Amen.
Now turn them back on. Where did that darkness go? You know where it went? It went in through the under things, around, behind things. It's gone. The darkness is gone.
Amen.
Now why in the world is it gone? Because the light came on.
Amen.
That's exactly what happens to your mind when the Holy Ghost speaks. When the Holy Ghost begins to finger around your heart and show you your lost and ruined condition in the darkness, the light. And with that candle, she searched the house, and lo and behold, look what I found! Here it is! No longer is it lost. And she rejoiced. And called her friends, who probably didn't know a thing in the world about it being lost. She said, it's found now. It's found now. Does that make sense to you? It's found. The sheep was found. The son was found. Came to himself in a hog pen and said, I'm going to daddy.
Amen.
This coin couldn't do that. Had to rely entirely on someone else finding it.
Amen.
How many people in the church this morning are in that shape. Lost.
Amen.
In the dust, the debris, the darkness. Why? Did that coin know it was lost?
No.
Someone else did.
Amen.
Someone else did.
Amen.
And that one that knows is the one that's searching.
Amen.
And that one that knows, are you listening to me? Whatever he searches for, he finds.
Amen. Absolutely. Thank God. Amen. Woo, glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on, brother. Word, man.
You can't get so lost. He can't find you.
Amen.
And when he comes looking, you'll find you. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed.